Welcome to the College Baseball Nation podcast. I'm your host, John Peters, and I'm joined by Kyle McKelvey. Today, in the midweek edition of the podcast, we're looking ahead to week 14's games, and we are doing one more round of bracketology. Let's talk college baseball. Hi, Kyle. I got a question for you.
What's that?
Pro or con? Breakfast food at college baseball concessions.
I am very much for.
All right.
I want breakfast food all time of the day. So that, yeah.
This is where it started for me. Last weekend, there was some weather changes to games, and some games were like starting at noon and stuff. And it's like, man, if I go to a college baseball game at noon, like breakfast tacos, orange juice, like breakfast or brunch, alcoholic beverages, like
mimosas.
Yeah, mimosas or Bloody Marys or something. Like, I don't know, you don't necessarily want to be drinking a beer, like showing up to the game at like 11:30 or 4:45, something like that. Like, you know, like that's not beer time exactly.
A fruity beer.
Yeah, at the very least, get some sours on the menu. Fruity beer. I think that's like might be an oxymoron in most places.
Maybe.
Where college baseball is watched.
Yeah.
But how easy would it be to go get like 200 eggs and like 10 pounds of bacon and just have a bunch of like breakfast tacos at college baseball concession stands?
I would love it. I think it's probably depending on where you go. Like if you go to a place that doesn't really do breakfast tacos, maybe it's a little bit harder to just cook up bacon and just like throw it out there. But yeah, tacos are super easy to mass produce and just throw on some bacon, put them in aluminum foil, have some salsa out there.
You Boom. Probably could charge a decent amount, because if you can charge like $4 or $5 for a hot dog, you probably can charge $4 or $5 for a breakfast taco.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're
gonna feel like a steal.
Yeah. Like this is a foolproof plan here.
Concession stand owners, listen to us. We have the ideas.
Yes. Breakfast tacos, breakfast burritos, breakfast sandwiches. Yeah. Like just get stuff with like eggs and breakfast meats, you know, like bacon, sausage, some cheese. Just get these things at baseball games, especially if the game is starting before like 2:00.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're gonna maybe see that next week at Hoover. I know there are games that start at like 9 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect place for it would be like a conference tournament or regional where you're guaranteed to have some early games because they're playing multiple games
on today. Yeah.
Breakfast food. That's all I'm asking for.
We might just have to, like for us, we might just have to bring in our own breakfast tacos.
Bring your own hollandaise.
Yeah.
All right. Now that we have that important debate aside, we have a few things to get to on this episode, this midweek edition of the podcast. And the first of those is looking ahead at the final week of the College Baseball Nation confidence interval pick'em power ranking dual contest. Maybe we should have workshopped that name in the offseason a little bit more.
It's about, yeah.
But I have a 4-point lead with 10 points each up for grabs this week. So folks at home, you can do the math. It's going to take a performance from Kyle to pass me up. But we've seen it done before, and college baseball throws it all at you sometimes, and you never know. I could get a big O for here.
Yeah, I'm hoping for that from you.
But thanks for adding the from you.
Yeah.
I thought you were
going to need an O for yourself, Kyle. I do not need an O for this. I've only had, I think we've both have only had like 2 offers this season.
Yeah, I would say like as a whole, combined, we're something like 16 games above 500 on the year. We're doing pretty well in the pick 'em, saying especially that we're trying to give each other hard series, that we're getting a lot of them right. I see you doing some math right here.
I'm calculating our winning percentage.
Yeah. So you're calculating winning percentage because you're losing in the confidence point.
Yeah, so I'm up 4% in the winning percentage.
Which is not a metric we agreed upon to make success for this year.
Yeah, but the fans will look at it and they'll see, oh, wow, he just couldn't assign points.
Wow, appealing to the fans here. getting low, getting dirty, Kyle. I thought you had more integrity than this.
I don't. Well, actually, I guess I should have an extra loss because of that two pointer.
Oh, yeah. And I should have another win.
Yeah, true. All right, I'll do it.
All right. So meanwhile, though, I also get a small advantage this week in that I am giving you the first series on the weekend. And I'm going to start you off with a little bit of a West Coast flair. I'm going to give you Arizona at Oregon. I think that this is two Pac-12 teams that are both near the top of the Pac-12 standings. They've both done a lot of good things. They both have had some series that you really feel like they should have won. They're both probably postseason teams, and I'm excited for this series. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, that's a really tough one. So I mean, Arizona just had that home series victory over the number two team in the country. So the formerly number two team in the country. But I'm sticking with the Wildcats here. Give me Arizona on the road for 1 point because I don't want any part of getting that wrong.
Yeah, I think that's I don't know. I don't know if I'm glad I'm not picking that one.
Yeah.
My gut leans towards Oregon in that one, but it's a tough one to pick for sure.
Well, I'm going to give you another hard one. Notre Dame traveling to Miami. And Notre Dame is doing well at the moment, of course, and Miami just came off that series loss on the road to Florida State, but are still obviously a good team. But can Notre Dame's pitching travel to South Beach?
Man, I feel like earlier in the season, I'm pretty sure you had me pick the Notre Dame at Florida State series, and Notre Dame swept Florida State. Is that right? I'm feeling
that sounds right.
And this feels like it's just like a perfect mirror of that. Because it's the same thing. I'm thinking like, man, that's a long way for Notre Dame to travel, going all the way to Florida. And I really like both, like that, this home team. Miami's got a lot going for them. So I have the obvious answer here. Let's pick Miami. But Notre Dame's had some pretty nice road series wins on the season.
Yeah. Oh, it turns out I didn't have you pick that one. I should have though. Oh. But they did sweep.
All right. Well, regardless, I still get flashbacks of that series because I was very confident Florida State would win that series. When I've had some doubts, let's dive into the stats a little bit. Notre Dame has a team ERA of 3.76, and that's led by a couple starters there for them that have been very consistent, like John Michael Bertrand, who's been kind of a staple of Notre Dame now for the last couple seasons, ERA of 2.37. He's going to go up against Carson Palmquist from Miami on Friday, 2.7 ERA. That should be a really nice pitcher's duel. There's no super strong obvious advantage for me. Maybe I would be a little bit happier about the depth of starters that Notre Dame has, but these two staffs feel fairly similar. When I look at their offense, Miami ranks top 50 in most offensive stats, batting average of almost 300. Notre Dame actually does have a batting average over 300, but don't have nearly as much power. They're only 111th in the country in home runs compared to Miami at 42. So a little bit more pop in those bats in Miami, but Notre Dame is playing more games in cold weather. So nothing really stands out to me in terms of the stats of which team's better. So with all that said, I think that leaves me down to my take me out to the ball game adage here, which is give me Miami, the home team.
We have to say it, root for the home team.
Yeah, exactly. I'll do it for 1 point. I think kind of regardless of what I think about this series, it's important to think about what this means for both of these teams. Both these teams are really in the race to win their division in the ACC. I think Notre Dame probably needs it more just because they're a little bit lower in the RPI as of the time of this recording. So, I mean, there's definitely something on the line. There's a chance they both end up as top eight seeds, even if they lose this series. So it's going to be interesting kind of to see who comes most motivated and who ends up winning the series and definitely locking up the top eight seed. But give me Miami for now.
All right. I picked all of the ones that we have on our list, and I picked Notre Dame in this one because of kind of like the going and sweeping Florida State from before, and they do really well on the road. But I commend you for sticking with the home team.
Yeah, it's a very little simple decision tree I have.
Yeah.
Do I have doubts about things? Yes, root for home team. Yeah, speaking of, there's a few fun little series here where the home team might be favored. That I definitely hope one of us ends up picking. I got my eye on this Oklahoma Texas Tech series because, I mean, that's has huge implications for the Big 12 race, like we talked about in the podcast earlier this week. I'm gonna stay on the West Coast for you. I love giving you a heavy dose of West Coast action because you know, you got that Central Time bias. So I'm gonna do Gonzaga at San Diego, and the reason why I want to do this, and you'll hear us talk about it a little bit in the bracketology segment coming up, is these are both top 50 teams, and not just in our rankings, but in RPI. And Gonzaga is very much alive for a top 16 seed, and winning a road series at a top 50 RPI team will move you up in the RPI. If Gonzaga wins a series, that might be enough for them to host a regional. So this is a huge stakes for Gonzaga. But if that's huge stakes, San Diego's, like I said, top 50 RPI, but they're kind of close to that like bubble right now. And if that's huge stakes for Gonzaga and potentially hosting, I would say it's probably even huger stakes for San Diego and just getting into the tournament. So in terms of two teams most motivated to win series, this is going to be up there. This is going to be much watch baseball.
Yeah. And looking at the stats here, it seems like this is wrong. Like Gonzaga has a number 250 in the country, like WOBA, and 176 in batting average. But this is just kind of like what they do. They have number 20 ERA. They have the number 20 ERA staff in the country. And they also, as an offense, don't strike out a lot at all. But neither does San Diego. They're fifth in the country, and San Diego's fifth in number of strikeouts.
Gabriel Hughes, Gonzaga, is one of Gonzaga's amazing pitchers because Gonzaga has a whole staff full of them, was just projected as a first-round pick in our MLB mock draft 1.0. So anytime you have a first-rounder pitching for you, that's not a bad thing to have.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And then yeah, they also have another guy with 1.19 ERA. So both teams definitely have a really good pitching staff. It's pretty hard to do it this late in the season.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna go with Gonzaga on the road. I'm gonna do 2 points in this one because yeah, don't trust. I don't know. It's both teams need it, like you said. But I like Gonzaga a little bit better.
All right. I don't promise not to give you any more West Coast series, but I might avoid it from here on out.
That's fine. Yeah, I would appreciate it. Well, you are East Coast biased, so should I give you a West Coast? Probably not. Why don't you pick Rutgers at Michigan?
Yeah, I thought about this series for you just now because I think the Big Ten is real messy. I'm going to take Rutgers. And I want to do 2 points here. I don't feel amazing about this, but what I really don't feel amazing about is Michigan. I think Michigan, I'm not going to say one of the most disappointing teams on the season, but they just really haven't been able to put it together on defense. They look very lackluster over the weekend, last weekend playing against Maryland. So I don't feel particularly excited about this Michigan team. So give me Rutgers.
You said for 2 points? Yeah.
All right, it's time to give you a dose of the ACC. I wanted you to do Virginia at Louisville because this one is a fun one. Louisville coming off that series loss at Virginia Tech. Virginia coming off series win, but hard fought. And that last game started at 8:30 p.m. Eastern against Clemson, which should never happen on a Sunday night. But anyways, they did win that series. So who do you have in this one?
Yeah. Did you watch any of that last bit? I know we were chatting when it was going on.
I did. I had it on iPad in bed while I was staying up because I was still making the rankings because we had to wait until that game was done before we could finish and publish our rankings.
Did you see the graphic that they used for the fan in the outfield?
The one dude.
Yeah, that was so great.
Yeah, got that. Like, he finally got, was it a
foul ball?
Jake Geloff. Was it a home run?
I thought. I don't know. At one point, he was sitting in foul territory. He might have moved because he was like the only fan.
Yeah, but he got a home run, I think, in the end. So, nice. Loyal fan gets rewarded with baseball.
Love it. So this is a tricky series to pick. Louisville's ERA improved a little bit over the weekend from close to 5.5 to down to 5.3, which is a big move this late in the season because it's a season average.
Still not enough against Virginia Tech.
Still not enough against Virginia Tech, no. And then I don't think it'll be enough for Virginia. Where did that series go?
I feel like we have constantly picked against Louisville, and we've been right some of those times, like against Virginia Tech series. But I don't know. Maybe we're just bulletin board material for the Cardinals.
Yeah, maybe. This is one series that Louisville needs to, because right now they're tied for the lead in the insert ACC division here.
Atlantic.
the divisions are meaningless in that conference. It feels like if you can know which teams are in which division, then good for you. But I don't.
We have Miami winning that series and we have Virginia winning that series. So I think that means that we are officially projecting a little bit of chaos at the top of the standings right there in the Atlantic. Because we have Notre Dame and Louisville losing their series.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
Does that give a window for Florida State? Maybe.
Maybe. They're a game and a half back. Yeah. Possible. They would need a sweep, I think, in their own. But I think, I think we picked Virginia Tech and Notre Dame to win their respective divisions on the podcast last week. So it's possible still, but I don't know. Go ahead and give me Virginia for 3 points. Yikes. Not feeling great about this one. Got road teams so far. You did it.
This is like literally one strategy. Two strategies. Pick home teams and make Kyle pick away teams.
Yeah, road favorites to make me question it.
Yeah.
Well, in that vein, you can do A&M going to Ole Miss.
Yeah, that was the obvious play right there. I felt that coming. I don't know. I have such mixed feelings about A&M. Their offense has just continued to move up in terms of the overall statistics. They're not exactly there in terms of those statistics, because I think they're kind of, we talked about this maybe a month ago on the podcast, that the A&M offense that's playing right now is definitely better than the A&M offense that was playing when they lost the series in February or March to Penn. Like, it's a pretty different team at this point. I'm happy with where the offense is right now. I'm more than happy. I think that this offense will be able to score runs at Ole Miss. I am not convinced that A&M has enough pitching. I mean, there's two pitchers that I feel, let's say, very confident about. That's Detmer and Palish.
That's it.
A Friday night guy and a reliever.
Minifee's gotten better.
Yeah, Minifee's pitched a lot better as of late. Micah Dallas has, it's been like a month maybe since he's had a good outing. He had a couple of short starts and then he was used out of the bullpen this last weekend. So like I think struggling to find himself. He's a guy who, if he pitches okay down the stretch, he's a guy that can maybe give you 3, 4, 5 innings in a few games in a regional or in a weekend series and maybe give up a run or two, but just keep you in it. That would make me feel better about A&M, but I don't think he is that guy right now.
The offense has been proven to like bring them back into games whenever they need it.
Yeah.
Down 9 against South Carolina, down 4 or 5 a few times against Mississippi State this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All that said, A&M still has won what 6 straight SEC series. They won a series on the road at Georgia in that stretch. give me A&M to win this. Give me them for 3 points. Ole Miss will be motivated, right, though. This is another,
for sure.
This is a very similar matchup to the San Diego Gonzaga matchup in the sense that A&M's playing for a host, maybe top eight seed. Ole Miss is playing to get in the tournament. So kind of some interesting theme similarities between those two series.
Both teams are also getting rest this week by, got rest by canceling those RPI games.
That's true. Both A&M. Actually, that's an interesting thing. When you think about A&M and Ole Miss in some ways, and you think about their pitching depth and maybe getting a little bit extra rest at the end of the year, obviously it's going to be an equal thing for them heading into this weekend series, but maybe it'll be useful heading into the SEC tournament or into the regionals.
Yeah, maybe. Your turn.
All right, so we have one last series for you. This is the last series of the year that I'm going to be giving you. Man, I feel like I got to make it a good one. I'm going to do, let's make this a trilogy. We're going to do Florida State at North Carolina, and because that's going to be basically the same scenario that I just described. Florida State has a chance of hosting. North Carolina has a chance of making the tournament. Two motivated teams playing with a road team that is traditional favorite. So who you got in this one?
I've got Florida State, and I'm giving them 4 points because I have to. Did I say Florida State? Yes, I said Florida State. I like what Florida State's done. They got, especially with Messick and Hubbard, that's the easiest 1-2 punch to pick. If North Carolina can get one of those games, then maybe, but Miami did that this week and it didn't come through for them. So yeah, give me Florida State. I don't feel fantastic about it, but
North Carolina is like a wild team. They had a really hot start to the year and then lost series against Louisville, Miami, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, Virginia, like everyone. Like that's like a month, like April was just awful for them.
Yeah.
But then now they've won back-to-back series at NC State and against Wake Forest. And those are like that starting to look like a, team that's trending in the right direction. So I'm curious what happens in this series for sure.
Next for you. You can pick. No, I gotta give you a good one. Georgia Tech going to Pittsburgh. That's what I had picked out.
Give me Georgia Tech. I'm unconvinced by Pittsburgh in general on the year. Georgia Tech's going to be playing particularly motivated, sitting 3 games below 500 in the ACC. They did just get swept at Clemson the week after they won a series at Miami. So a little bit hot and cold, but that's the ACC for you. And I guess I have to give them 4 points. So in all, you picked 4 road teams and I picked 3 road teams. Is that right? So we have home team favored right now, or that we picked was Miami, which I think we did a good job getting each other series when that happens. Yeah, so let's wrap this pick 'em up. I have in my lineup for 4 points Georgia Tech, Texas A&M for 3, Rutgers for 2, and Miami for 1. Kyle, what do you have?
And I have Florida State on the road over North Carolina for my 4 point, Virginia on the road over Louisville for 3 points, Gonzaga over San Diego on the road for 2 points, and Arizona on the road at Oregon. So, all road teams, got a lot of them there. Oh, I need 10 points to feel pretty confident, but I don't know. We'll see.
Best of luck, Kyle. I look forward to your concession speech.
I won't prepare one.
Next up on the podcast, Kyle and I will take a deep dive into bracketology. And next up on the podcast, time for some bracketology, Kyle. This is, I think, my favorite time of the week. I love making brackets. Like always, we will start with the top 16 seeds, the 16 hosts split between the top 8 and 9 through 16. And then we're going to dive into the bubble and we're going to fill out the rest of it, all the stuff in the middle, on our own time, because nobody wants to listen to a 2-hour podcast of us picking out all 31 mid-major, major automatic bids.
Agreed.
All right. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
So number one overall seed, let's do Alcorn State.
Yep. Alcorn State, 100%.
All right. Tennessee, number one. That one's easy.
And I think number two is easy too. Virginia Tech.
Yeah. I think at this point in the season, you have to think a little bit too about a possible Pac-12 champ. You don't really have to think about the Big 12 champ right now because like we've talked about earlier this week, it's a little bit messy. So I'm between Virginia Tech and Oregon State, leaning Virginia Tech right now if they can take care of business and win the ACC, which I don't think is a foregone conclusion. I think that's some projection for sure.
Yeah, that's true. But I think we're projecting them to do it. So I would have them here. And then, yeah, I'm fine with Oregon State right after that.
Yeah, I think Oregon State has to be next. They're number two in the RPI still. And I think I could see them being number two right now. I'm okay right now for sure them being three, but this is still some time to change. So then number four, I think it starts getting a little trickier here because the three conferences I feel most confident about in terms of like their champ is definitely going to be at the top. We've already gone through. I think typically like last week we started thinking about the Big 12 champ. I don't think the Big 12 champ is going to be anywhere close to this unless Oklahoma State comes back, wins the Big 12, and maybe even makes a little run in the Big 12 tournament. So it's safe to say we're going to put some pause on Big 12 teams for a little while.
Yeah, until they figure out themselves what they're doing.
Yeah, next week is going to be super informative for us. I think we're going to make a lot clearer projection about what to do with the Big 12 after this weekend.
Yeah, but I think I'm good to go back into the ACC. I have Miami next.
Yeah, I'm between Miami and Louisville here now. I know when I originally thought about this, I put Miami because their RPI is a little bit higher. For having right. Virginia Tech win the Coastal, I'm not sure if I'm willing to go back to the top two teams both from the Coastal here. So if Louisville does win that series, their series this weekend, and wins the Atlantic, I would go Louisville here.
Okay.
But
yeah,
we don't think, or do we think, I mean, as you just heard in the pick'em, we do not have, or you did not pick Louisville winning that series.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think I would, but yeah, I don't know. I think I would. The other guess would be Notre Dame, maybe, like if we think that they're going to do it, but you didn't pick Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So I think teams that we have to think about if we're going to go down ACC well would be Miami, if we think that maybe they tie with Virginia Tech or something like that. And actually, you know what? I feel like that's actually a likely scenario. I could see them tied atop the standings, Virginia Tech having the head-to-head. But actually, I'm feeling okay with Miami here.
Okay.
Because I don't think, I think there's a good chance they win or end up tied and win the division. And yeah, so let's do Miami 4. I think Louisville, Notre Dame, Virginia, all these ACC teams now want to debate a little bit more at number 5.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we think Virginia has a chance of winning that series at Louisville,
then they should be up there.
They should be up there. I know you picked Virginia.
Yeah, I picked Virginia. Yeah.
I don't know if I agree. I don't know. I feel a little torn. All right.
Let's see.
Let's search for someone else.
Well, A&M was my I had Louisville and then A&M. So if you want, we could do A&M there. Let me look at some stats here. Louisville is 14-9-1 in Q1. Virginia is 11-9. So Louisville has more games and more wins in Q1. Non-conference strength of schedule for Virginia is 218. Louisville is 186, so both bad there. Strength of schedule 26 for Louisville, 47. RPI is a little bit better. That's kind of playing into all those. So I don't know. I think the resume overall right now would say Louisville, but if we have Virginia, I have Virginia winning that series, so I would say Virginia next, or as the next ACC team, maybe.
Yeah, because you know, other teams we should consider are Notre Dame, but Notre Dame is going on the road at Miami, and I think Miami should be the favorite in that series, but you know, they could drop one or two games there. So,
but yeah, should we have the first three in the Coastal over both teams in the Atlantic? I don't think so.
I don't either. Yeah, I think the next ACC team has to be from the Atlantic. But because I feel a little bit uncertainty, now I'm starting to feel like maybe we don't go ACC here again. I think we need to think about the SEC West winner, the Pac-12's number two team. So I think teams that like kind of on my radar in terms of, or maybe an SEC East team, number two. Teams most on my radar right here, right now, are probably A&M and Stanford. I lean against Stanford because they host USC the last week of the year, and that's not going to do them favors for their RPI, especially if they happen to drop one game. So I'm kind of thinking A&M now at five.
Yeah, I think I'm good with that.
All right, making progress. Do we want to go ACC here? Teams I'm thinking about, we still have Louisville, Notre Dame. I want to start bringing Vanderbilt into the conversation. I think Vanderbilt has top five RPI. I think they have a shot going two games above 500 in the SEC. Three games. I don't know. They're 14-13 right now. They finish with hosting
LSU at home.
LSU. So if they go 16-14, it's a little tough to be this high. They go 17-13. I think they very well could go this high. And then, like I already mentioned, Stanford. So what are your thoughts here at number six?
So it was the ACC team, Stanford, Vanderbilt. That's what you're kind of thinking there?
Yeah. I mean, if
I'd go to Notre Dame next, I think.
So we have, when we have both Louisville and Notre Dame, I'm leaning Louisville because I'm pretty, like, I feel like we both agree that Notre Dame is going to be the underdog on the road at Miami. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I think there's a little bit of uncertainty around if Louisville is going to be the underdog at home against Virginia.
Yeah.
I think Louisville has a better shot at winning the division because of that, but I don't feel really strong about it. So.
Yeah. And I mean, I picked Virginia, so I think Virginia would be on the road favored there, but yeah, we can't have a third Coastal team. Tricky.
Let's go Notre Dame here.
All right. Fine by me. And then Stanford, Louisville, Vanderbilt, something like that. Some order of those.
Yeah. I'm really worried about what's going to happen to them with their last three games against USC. I think that Stanford is not a team that's sweeping series left and right. Well, they have swept their last two Pac-12 series, so maybe they do. I mean, if Stanford sweeps and they're top 15 in the RPIs, I mean, they could end up winning the Pac-12 at that point. You know, if Oregon State slips up, if they win the Pac-12, they'll be a top 8 seed with a top 15 RPI. Even if they're in second place in the Pac-12, it feels like they could be a top 8 seed.
True. Yeah. Yeah, I think a team with what 20 wins in Pac-12 is deserving of a top 8 seed.
Yeah, this is the same conversation we had about Stanford last week, and then they just quit, right? So
let's do it.
They did what they were supposed to do last week, I guess. In terms of a known commodity, they're kind of cruising through the Pac-12 play right now. They should be heavily favored at home against an outmatched team. Yeah, let's pull the trigger. Stanford at number seven.
Okay, then.
I think this is where it gets tricky for me. Yeah, I think, I mean, Louisville or Virginia, if you think Virginia is going to win that series, then I would say Virginia should be above Louisville here. I'm leaning Louisville, though. We have divergent opinions on Louisville and Virginia. But like,
yeah, we
let's
do.
Let's start there. this is going to be tough to hone in. I have Virginia towards the bottom end of my host's teams.
Okay. Yeah, I have them
ninth. Pretty much next one or two teams.
Yeah.
I actually, in the pecking order of the ACC, I have Florida State above Virginia. So here's a case for Florida State. They're 15-12 right now in the RPI. They're 1.5 games behind Notre Dame. They're one game behind Virginia. So it's important to note that they're behind Virginia. They go on the road at North Carolina as opposed to on the road at Louisville. I would favor Florida State to win that series. I personally favor Louisville to beat Virginia. So I think Florida State and Virginia are going to end up with fairly similar records. They do not have a head-to-head. So I ended up leaning Florida State by a hair in that.
Florida State's also got 27 quad one games. So that's a lot, 15-12 in that.
That's loud.
It's pretty loud, yeah.
Yeah, that's like when you ask teams to schedule tough, Florida State listened.
Yeah, and that's not, I'm assuming that's not all conference because that's the same record as our conference record.
Yeah, I mean, Florida State has the number 6 overall strength of schedule, but number 30 non-conference strength of schedule. So I got to give them some credit for doing a good job scheduling there. Virginia, meanwhile, is 218. Wow, Notre Dame is 254 non-conference.
Yikes. That's what's kind of dragging them down a little bit. The 14th in the RPI, but Notre Dame is. But
if Florida State ends up at 17-13, which would be just winning 2 out of 3 against North Carolina on the road, which is not foregone conclusion, but I think it would be a reasonable expectation. And then Notre Dame is traveling to Miami. Let's say they lose that series. They end up at 16-11 because they had a few games canceled in the conference. Who do you like better between a 16-11 Notre Dame and a 17-13 Florida State?
Didn't Notre Dame sweep that series?
That is true. So head-to-head probably should be relevant there. But Florida State would probably be ahead of them in the RPI and strength of schedule.
True. Yeah. It was a road series sweep for Notre Dame.
I mean, speaking of sweeps, Louisville did sweep Notre Dame. And right now,
yeah.
The ACC is messy.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yikes. Yikes indeed.
Let's just let's break the rules and put them all in the same division, in the same regional, and then have them fight each other.
Yeah, exactly. This is a case for back in the olden days when only one team from each conference was sent to the postseason.
I hated that.
Have them duke it all out. You hated that. You weren't alive for that.
I hated reading about that. It seemed weird.
All right. So
there can't be two good teams in one area, of course.
So we have Notre Dame at 6, Stanford at 7. Should we have Louisville up higher?
Maybe Stanford at 6. And then just, yeah. Well, you think Louisville is going to win.
And they have swept Notre Dame, who's also in the discussion. And, I mean, if it comes down to a tie between Notre Dame and Louisville, like if they both lose their series and they're tied, I guess if Florida State sweeps, they would pass up and win the division. But if Florida State doesn't sweep and Louisville and Notre Dame both tie, they're going to tie atop the standings with Louisville having swept Notre Dame. That feels like Louisville ends up winning, I mean, wins the division and should be seeded higher than Notre Dame, even if they both lose the series.
Okay. You've convinced me.
Notre Dame at 6? Sorry.
Louisville at 6 over, yeah.
All right.
Something like that.
So recap there. A&M 5, Louisville 6, Stanford 7. And now we still have the Notre Dame, Virginia, Florida State problem, plus more teams to consider. Now here's the case, though, I think. I think Florida State now could be ahead of Notre Dame, but Notre Dame swept Florida State, and that just feels weird, too. So
same logic there.
That pecking order makes sense for me. Florida State should be below Notre Dame. I think now the tricky one is let's figure out the ACC order a little bit. Virginia or Florida State is who has a better resume there. And if you think that Virginia has a legitimate chance at knocking off Louisville, which I agree they do, then Virginia probably should be higher.
So the question is Florida State, Virginia.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's tricky. Let's see. What are Florida State's bad series losses? The home sweep, the hands of Notre Dame is bad. Loss, not bad, but just a mark against them. And then loss on the road to Georgia Tech, 2 out of 3. Loss at Clemson, 2 out of 3. But they also have a win against Miami at home, win against TCU at home, sweep Louisville at home, and 2 out of 3 against Duke, NC State, Wake on the road. It's a pretty good resume. And then Virginia probably has a really similar one, just without looking at it on the top of my head. Do they have any really bad series losses?
They lost at Pitt.
At Miami, swept.
Yeah, and then they lost
at Pitt is bad.
Home against Virginia Tech. It's not too bad. And then, their non-conference is pretty weak. Penn State, Cornell, Gardner Webb, Bellarmine, VMI. Yeah, I mean, nothing on their non-conference really stands out except for a few one-off midweek games.
I think I would have Virginia over Florida State.
I think they're close.
They are close. And right now, Virginia has a slightly higher RPI as of now.
Yeah, and that's not going to be hurt by playing on the road at Louisville.
Yeah, but a tougher series than Florida State does, just based on the quality of team that they're playing.
All right, so the pecking order that we have in the ACC setup is that we have Virginia Tech, Miami, and Louisville in as hosts, Notre Dame, Virginia, Florida State as considered. And I think that's the order that we wanted. And for now, do we want to go with one of those teams, ACC teams right now? I think if we did, Notre Dame probably would be the team that I would want to go with next.
Me too. Let's do it at 8.
All right, at 8. And now my leaning is to go, I think we need to start thinking about the Big 12. If Oklahoma State pulls off the Big 12, I think they're going to be up here. I don't know if I would favor them to do it because of how they just got swept by Texas Tech. But their RPI is still in the position, and they're not that far out of first place. And yes, getting swept at home is not great, a great look, but I mean, the committee looked at their whole resume, and Oklahoma State, I mean, has number 12 RPI, or sorry, number 15 RPI right now. It's moving around and is still in number 12, and they're still 13-8 in the third toughest conference. So,
and they'll play at Baylor in the season, which they could easily sweep.
It won't hurt their RPI that, it should be okay with their RPI because Baylor is second four in the RPI. So that's not going to be something that really moves the needle a lot for them. So I think Oklahoma State needs to be considered. But if they finish third, like if TCU, Texas Tech finish ahead of them, or if OU passes them up or something, then that gets a lot more difficult to be the number 9 overall seed.
Yeah, I'm not ready for a Big 12 team here.
All right. I think my next move would be Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I like their odds of racking up some wins in the SEC. They're hot. They have a great RPI, top 5 RPI. So I'm happy with that pick. Number 10.
I think Arkansas.
I think
is my next, but RPI is going to be a problem. Yeah.
Their RPI is too low, in my opinion. I think the biggest feather in their cap is winning the West, and I don't think they're favored to win the West at this point.
They have at Alabama to end the season. So yeah, both A&M and Arkansas could end up tied, and A&M has the head-to-head. So,
and then it's going to come down to the SEC tournament. You know, if they win a couple games in the SEC tournament, you can very quickly move up in the RPI playing neutral site top 50 win games. So, you know, Arkansas definitely could be this high, but I'm not ready for it yet. I think that I'd like Gonzaga over Arkansas. I think the
24.
Yeah, Gonzaga is currently 24 in the RPI, but their Boyd's World Needs report is quite favorable because they play at San Diego, and they play three games at San Diego, and one game at Oregon. They have a midweek game, and their path to a top 16 RPI is pretty straightforward. They just need to win two of those four games to get a top 16 RPI.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think that if we think they're going to win the series at San Diego, if they pull off a midweek win, go 3-1, that seems to add up to a top 14 RPI, which add it to a conference champ. I think they should at least be talked about here.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's fine. I think that's fine. Let's do it. You convinced me.
All right. I'm okay. I would go either ACC here again, or so I'd go Virginia or Arkansas probably next, or Oklahoma State.
My order of those three would be Virginia, Arkansas, Oklahoma State.
And then I think I'm okay with Virginia and Arkansas. I think I like those two next two here.
All right, let's do it.
I think after Arkansas, though, I do think we need to think about Auburn because their RPI is very
high. True. They're probably not going to win the division in the West. They'll be third, I think.
Yeah, seems likely.
But the RPI is really, really helped because they played Vanderbilt and Tennessee this year. So it seems like they've been just vaulted.
So we have a few, let's kind of run down the teams we have left in the discussion here. We have still thinking about Auburn, Florida State, Oklahoma State, UVA. I think
we have Virginia.
What's that?
We have Virginia at 11.
Oh, okay. Good point. I think we need to think about the Big Ten champ, Maryland, likely champ. I think we need to think about the Big 12 champ. And regardless of that's Oklahoma State, we need to, you know, include Oklahoma State in that conversation. Southern Miss probably should be in this conversation. Georgia should at least get a little bit of lip service here. Georgia Southern and Dallas Baptist with their top 10 RPI, I think, are teams that are all on my radar right now. Any other ones that you think we missed?
We had kind of briefly mentioned that Texas Tech has a chance because they can win their win the conference still.
Yeah, I think that's where I have in mind with the Big 12 champ. When I think about that, I'm really thinking about Texas Tech, maybe TCU.
Yeah, but I'm fine having Oklahoma State over them right now because of the RPI is 12 and Texas Tech is 33 right now.
Yeah. Yeah. RPI is not doing them any favors. They host Oklahoma, which shouldn't hurt them. I mean, Oklahoma's top 40 RPI. So like Texas Tech has a chance to move up. I don't think they're going to move up 15 spots. I think if they win that series though, and end up in the mid low 20s, I think Texas Tech hosts probably. I kind of need.
Yeah. There's precedent for a 20s RPI hosting.
Yeah, TCU did it. Is that right?
A few years ago. I think so. North Carolina did it maybe a few years ago.
All right. So I think
I'm putting it in my next four in the spreadsheet right now in some order: Auburn, Florida State, Oklahoma State, Maryland. I also think Georgia Southern has an argument with 9 in the RPI. I don't think they're going to win their conference though.
No, Texas the regular State has season. A three-game lead on them, and Georgia Southern's last game. They basically, Georgia Southern has to win their four remaining games to get a top 16 RPI. It's they're going to be hurt by the rest of the schedule.
Yeah. And then Southern Miss is under consideration also.
Yeah, they go on the road at Middle Tennessee, which actually is a pretty solid RPI series for them. I like Southern Miss over Georgia Southern here, if I were to compare those two teams. And my biggest sort of issue right now with our projected hosts are the number of ACC teams we're considering. I don't know if there's precedent for six ACC hosts. And we have Virginia Tech, Miami, Louisville, Notre Dame, Virginia. So that's five, as in, I think that might be enough to keep Florida State out for now.
Okay. That's fair. So what do you think? After Arkansas, you want to do Auburn?
Yeah, I think I like Auburn next because their RPI is so good, but their conference standing's a little bit lower. So I think that's going to give Arkansas and A&M the edge over them. I think I would probably lean Oklahoma State next because they still have a solid RPI and they might end up number one or two in the conference.
Okay, and then what's next? Maryland, maybe?
I think Maryland, they go on the road at Purdue, which is going to be a little bit tough for them on their RPI, but they actually have a little bit of wiggle room. They've done a really great job. Yeah, they're actually have a path to a top eight RPI still if they win the rest of their games, according to Boyd's World. So, and the path to this top 16 looks like they only have to win two. So
yeah, and they have a really good chance to get the double in the Big Ten, winning the regular season and the tournament. That would be a big feather in their cap.
They're good.
But I've heard that they are iffy on whether they can host it at their own stadium.
The latest I heard on that was that they should.
Okay.
But there's no, apparently there's no, Kendall Rogers is reporting, there's no available like minor league ballpark in the area. So like if they host, they have to host at home basically.
Oh, wow. Apparently the Nationals are out of town that week, that first week.
Oh, well, that would be something.
Yeah. That would be funny. But yeah, they're just going to put up like some grandstands in the outfield or something and fill up their stadium.
Yeah. All right. So that leaves us now with one spot left in the top 16. And I would probably be between Southern Miss and Texas Tech here.
Then let's do Southern Miss.
All right.
Because of RPI.
Yep. I think Texas Tech is going to have a real shot. But
they are.
But Conference USA is a good conference. And like we saw it last year, where like Louisiana Tech had hosted a regional with an RPI, basically it was lower than Southern Miss's current RPI, and they didn't win their conference. So I think if Southern Miss wins the conference, has a top 20 RPI, that's a host bid, in my opinion.
Yeah, me too.
But Texas Tech, right there on the bubble, Georgia also in the conversation. The other teams, a lot of other teams, I think, could actually really be, there's a lot of movement that can still happen. I was even looking at Sun Belt, you know, Texas State, Coastal Carolina. I think they both have paths to hosting, but I mean, most of the time, those involve winning the rest of your games. So, you know, whenever that's your path to hosting, it's tough, but it's definitely interesting how many teams have a chance. So, number one, Tennessee, two, Virginia Tech, three, Oregon State, Miami, A&M, Louisville, Stanford, Notre Dame. That's your top eight. Vanderbilt, Gonzaga, Virginia, Arkansas, Auburn, Oklahoma State, Maryland, Southern Miss. That's your 9 through 16. Let's move to the bubble. Kyle, you set up the bubble for us this week. So what are the stats? How many teams do we have on the bubble and how many do we have to cut?
I was muted. I put 15 teams on the bubble, which means we have, that makes us have 7 teams to cut. So not too bad.
So that means that we have 56 locks and now we're looking for 8 more teams to fill in the bubble.
Yep.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So we have,
yeah, go ahead and read through the RPI ones.
Wake Forest, Clemson, North Carolina, and yes, these are in order of RPI. Ole Miss, West Virginia, Mercer, San Diego, UTSA, Middle Tennessee, Old Dominion, Kennesaw State, Louisiana Tech, Pitt, Louisiana, and Iowa. Man, what a group of teams. I don't know.
So we have 8 to keep, right?
8 to keep, 7 to cut. And
I think we can start by, I think we did this last week, start by listing a few that we are pretty confident in, right?
Sure, yeah. If you have someone in mind, let's do it.
Ooh, well, I said that. But I think Ole Miss can win a game against A&M at least this weekend. And then that's 14-16. We've seen that be enough for mid-30s RPI teams. And then if they win a game at Hoover, they're in. I think Ole Miss is my
best
lock.
This very much feels like a bubble team, but in terms of bubbliness, it feels less bubbly than some of these other teams.
Yeah, especially just that sweep of the series at LSU this week.
Yeah.
They're flying right now.
I mean, when you think about the bubble, none of these teams can afford to get swept, right? Like that can't be the standard. Like that, if you're on the bubble, you have to be winning games at the end of the year. So the fact that Ole Miss, we feel like, can even lose this series and still has a chance to get in, that you got to feel, if you're on the bubble, it's not the worst place in the bubble to be.
True. Yeah. So that is one to keep. Another one in my mind, West Virginia. Who do they have left?
Yeah. So West Virginia is at 41 in the RPI. 11-10 in Big 12 play. That's been sneaking closer to 500 in a bad way for West Virginia. 29-20 overall.
They have Kansas State at home to end the year. They could sweep that.
Yeah, it feels like if they win 2 out of 3 there, 13-11 overall, probably going to end up top 45 RPI after that series. So I feel like that's a team that's in.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see. Does Boyd's World have anything on them? If they win 2 of the next 3, they'll be top 45. There's no way to reach top 32 for West Virginia. So
makes sense. But I think we should favor them to win that series, and they have a chance to sweep it. So I would project them to have an RPI in the 35 to 45 range. And that's sounds like a bubble team, but sounds like a better bubble team than some of the other ones.
So which of these 3 ACC, nope, 4 ACC teams do you like? We have Wake, Clemson, North Carolina, and Pitt on the bubble. I think Pitt's probably out.
I mean, you say that, but Pitt is the only team at 500 amongst those. The other team is
below
500.
I know.
I hate the ACC.
Yeah.
This is the nastiest bubble I think that any conference has ever put forward, bubble teams.
Yeah.
I love the idea of a Clemson at large, except for their 6 games below 500 in conference. They have Boston College to finish the year at home, and they go at Coastal Carolina. So like their RPI is going to be intact. I think if they sweep that series 13-16, that's in for me. I think they should sweep that series because Boston College has only won 5 ACC games all year. I think Clemson, I feel pretty good about them right now.
All right. I think I do too. The RPI is really good. So let's say Clemson in.
I feel pretty good about North Carolina. I think this is a year where we need to think about 13-17 teams in the ACC getting in. So the number one conference RPI team, or the number one in conference RPI, they should kind of get that a little bit, that SEC treatment, where if you win 13 games, you get in. North Carolina is 12-15. Win one game against Florida State, 13-17. They're going to end up with a top probably 25 RPI, top 30 RPI. I like that.
North Carolina?
Yeah, that's my latest leaning.
Okay, that's fair.
But
Wake ends at NC State. I think I would lean Wake out. That one, they're 12-14 and asterisk in ACC play.
Yeah, they could end up at 13-16-1 if they lose 2 out of 3 in that series.
With a really good RPI, they have the best RPI out of these 3.
Yeah, I honestly see Wake in too.
Okay, that having those 3 in would put this ACC at 11 teams.
Yeah,
which feels unbelievable, but
that would be a record for the ACC.
Is that not a record overall?
It is, yeah. ACC and SEC have both tied at 10 before, but it would be an overall record. Are we comfortable doing breaking records with this?
I don't think we are.
All right. Let's put a pin on that.
Okay.
Because, I mean, even if we have all of those teams in, Clemson, North Carolina, Wake Forest, that would still leave us with three more teams to put in. So let's see if we can find more than three deserving teams. And if we can, then there's a debate.
Okay.
Well, let's start from the bottom a little bit. I'm feeling not great about Kennesaw State. So they go on the road at Liberty. Their RPI is 52. I don't know. I think they're going to lose that series.
Agree.
We have a lot of Conference USA teams on here, so maybe we need
a lot
them apart. Middle Tennessee at 48 in the RPI, Old Dominion at 49, Louisiana Tech at 54.
UTSA is 47.
Oh, yeah, UTSA at 47. They're all within two games of each other in the conference standings. Louisiana Tech at 18-9. So they're the lowest RPI but the highest conference record. And to me, I think it's going to – I think with a conference like Conference USA, when you have so many teams that are fairly even, I don't know – I think that's a case where they look at conference standings. Like, if their RPIs are, like, 2, 3, 4 apart, I think you got to go conference standings there because – that, like, why else have conferences if you're not going to care about how you do in them? Like, I don't know. That just feels like it. So with that said, I would lean Louisiana Tech as in.
Let's see. Louisiana Tech lost a series on the road to Southern Miss earlier in the year. Lost a series at home to Middle Tennessee. Beat Old Dominion on the road. Did they play UTSA? Did I miss that one? Yeah, won the road series at UTSA. So they have, like, feels like the best resume out of all these teams against the teams that they've been playing. So
I want to, and let's add to this. I want to say Middle Tennessee's out. So Middle Tennessee is at 48 in the RPI, 17-10 overall. They have one Conference USA series left, and that's against Southern Miss. I think
that's
tough. Odds that they might drop a little in the standings. They're only 4-5 in Q1 right now, compared to 8-8 for UTSA, 8-4 for Old Dominion, 8-7 for Louisiana Tech. They're going to get three more Q1 games with that, but if they lose 2 out of 3 and they're 5-7 in Q1, that doesn't feel like, I don't know. I think that they're going to end up maybe behind Louisiana Tech, UTSA, and Old Dominion in the standings, and probably behind in some other metrics.
Okay, that's fair. They are out. I also, while we were doing this, I put Iowa out. I just put them on the bubble because of conference standings.
Let's
I think they're out.
I want to have some debate on this. I don't want to debate whether or not Iowa deserve to be in. I want to debate whether or not they will be in.
Okay. Because I don't think they deserve to be in.
I think that if you just go based off your kind of traditional conference RPI, RPI, standings, record, all that jazz, Iowa probably does not deserve to be in. But I find it hard to think that at the end of the day, if there is a Big Ten team close to the bubble, the committee has a choice of having two Big Ten teams in or three. I feel like they're going to put three Big Ten teams in.
Yeah, I don't. But Iowa does have a road series win at the second Big Ten team, Rutgers.
3-3 in Q1. That's not a great look.
I think they're out. I think that's enough. They also lost to Illinois, the other team that I considered for bubble for Big Ten, but the RPI is too low for Illinois. They rarely sweep.
Yeah.
They always lose. They always win 2 out of 3. If they swept a few of these, then yeah. But I think they could be first one out, or maybe last in if we come to it.
I think that's the case I want to make. I don't necessarily think they're in right now. I think they're going to be higher on the bubble than we are maybe thinking about them, because they're last in the RPI in terms of this group of 15 teams. I don't think they're last in terms of where they would land on the bubble.
Okay, that is fine by me.
I agree having them out. Another team I want to put out right now is Louisiana. Louisiana The Raging Cajuns are 56 in the RPI. They're 3-9 in Q1. They just got swept by Texas State. That's not great.
Nope, it is not. But you have La Tech in, right? Okay, Kennesaw State we have out. I'm just cleaning up the spreadsheet a little bit.
So we have five of our seven teams out, and we have four of our eight teams in, with North Carolina in the ether.
I don't know what to do with them. I don't. I feel like they have the hardest series of the three. And since they're last of that group of three in RPI, I think they're out. But Clemson is, I don't know, 10-16.
I'm pulling you out. Let's avoid the ACC talk for as long as we can.
All right. It's so circular.
I want to nix another team. I think Mercer is out.
Okay.
So Mercer, so they're 45 in the RPI. That is right on the cusp of where you should feel pretty good. 38-13 overall. They're 3-4 in Q1, 2-0 in Q2. So that's 5-4 in Q1 and Q2 combined. They have 27 Q4 games. To their credit, they're 14-8 on the road. That's nice. That looks like a team that's going to be competitive. They have Georgia Southern on the road in the midweek, which will be a fun little game for them. Before they go to Samford top, which is around 150 in the RPI. If they lose a game there, I think that's going to hurt their RPI, which is already on the bubble. So I have Mercer out.
I think I agree.
So we just need one more team out before we can, by default, just put on all the ACC teams.
Well, I think we got to pick one of the CUSA teams, then Old Dominion or UTSA. I think I would go Old Dominion out.
Just to add one last thing we haven't talked about, San Diego. Are we thinking San Diego is in? Because
I think so.
My gut is that, so they're playing Gonzaga, and that's their only series left. Gonzaga is a top 25 RPI team. Playing them at home, so playing games at home tends to not help you in the RPI as much, but they can lose that series, and my guess is that they would probably still break even in the RPI.
Mm-hmm.
If they happen to win that series, I would say that puts them in almost for sure.
Yeah, but that's like one of those things that Gonzaga's record is so good that it should help just overall. I think even just winning a game.
I think my gut is that a game would lead to basically a neutral result for San Diego.
Okay.
So like, I mean, even then, if they move up or down one or two spots, is that going to change your mind about them? I think that's the question we got to ask ourselves.
Yeah. That's true. Maybe San Diego's out. I don't know.
So let's take a step back. So we have Southern Miss in, Louisiana Tech in. Conference USA is currently sitting at number 5 in the conference RPI.
Mm.
I think at minimum we need one more Conference USA team. And I think then the debate becomes, do we do 4 Conference USA teams? Or maybe,
or 2 West Coast,
or we do 4 Conference USA, 2 West Coast, and only 10 ACC, and one of the ACC teams that we talked about gets cut.
I think that's where we should go.
I think that makes a lot of sense, but
what?
I think that makes a lot of sense, but I'm reluctant to. I think San Diego is a pretty big question mark. I'm going to say let's give them the benefit of the doubt. They're playing a pretty good RPI team. I'm leaning San Diego in, but maybe even the last team in right now in my mind.
Okay, who's left?
So UTSA hosts UAB. So their RPI is probably going to drop, but they're probably going to win a lot of those games. Old Dominion, who's currently one game behind UTSA, finishes at Western Kentucky, which probably will drop their RPI. I actually might be leaning 3 Conference USA teams.
So that means UTSA in and Old Dominion out?
I think so. I think if Middle Tennessee wins that series against Southern Miss, that launches them in. I don't think they win that series right now. But I think they have the most opportunity for sure. Like they're in control of their destiny. I don't think UTSA and Old Dominion are.
Okay. So then San Diego in, UNC and Wake in.
Yeah, I think that means 11 ACC teams.
I think so. I'm doing all of this on our spreadsheet. Do you see what I'm doing?
Oh, I see it, Kyle.
Okay. Does this make sense as our first four and last four? So first four or last four in, we have right now Wake, UNC, UTSA, and San Diego. And then first four out is Iowa, Old Dominion, Mercer, and Louisiana.
I like that.
All right. Well, ACC fans, congratulations. You've set the record for most teams in the tournament.
Yeah, lock it in.
Because definitely, if we know anything about the ACC, everything will go exactly as we planned.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I mean, we're going to – the 12 seed in the ACC is guaranteed to win the ACC tournament at this rate. All right, so Kyle, we have successfully completed another round of bracketology. If you're listening to the podcast right now, that means the full Field of 64 is on the website. So if you haven't seen it, you can go see the completed thing right now. No waiting. Instant gratification. We're giving it here in College Baseball Nation. Thanks for listening to the College Baseball Nation podcast. If you haven't, go rate and review our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Check out our social media at collegeballnat and head over to our website, collegebaseball.info, to see our latest Field of 64, plus a ton of free college baseball coverage. Thanks for listening and have a great week.